Hey, everybody, it's Lynn Schuster-Williams
and Brooke Haynes,
and we are here to talk Frequency 500. And as we are wont to do, Brooke and I have been sitting here having a conversation for the last 15 minutes that could have been a great podcast. So we're going to come back to this topic and talk about it. The word, if I had to sum this topic up in one word, Brooke, I think it's a word you said, trust. Mm-hmm. Like, what's that? Because I think people are struggling with what to trust, how to trust my own judgment, how to trust. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff around mm-hmm. that word right now. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's 100%. I'm like, that right. That question alone, what do you think, was about to send me off on a 20-minute tangent. But yes, I do agree.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. And if we think about it in terms of frequency, if we think about it in terms of the lower frequencies, when we get stuck in anger and fear and shame and things that are below 200 on the map of consciousness, right? Those sorts of things, we get anchored in those emotions, and trust and confidence are tough from those places sometimes, right? Very tough. Mm-hmm. And then if we make our way out of the 200 or below, no matter where we are on the map of consciousness, right, we have things that we can do that help us develop and engage in our own self-trust, which I think is what you and I agree is where the power is.
That's where this conversation started from. It was about trusting yourself. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. 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 And so, you know, I think if you're a grown ass adult, you've had some experience where you didn't trust your own judgment, or something got in the way of your confidence in your ability to trust yourself or whatever. And so I think, Brooke, you have some recent stories about your kind of pathway to dealing with that. You want to talk about that?
Yes. The reason this topic was a topic for me is I used to not even like the word trust, because I'm like, who needs trust when you have a knowingness? Mm-hmm. I didn't even, but then I'm a big girl now, and I can see that sometimes I have to borrow trust to work my way up to knowingness, right? And so to kind of explain that a little bit more is, like, for me and my perspective and the way I've learned, trust is something that I'm putting myself into. Like, I'm, even when if I'm trusting God, or I'm trusting the government, or I'm trusting myself, I'm allowing, that means I'm going to hold on. It means almost that I really don't trust. I'm almost like just holding on because I'm going to trust it. Right. And
that you really don't believe, you're trusting in spite of whatever. Yeah, right.
However, then once, but there is this knowingness that comes above. I call it above, because I call it, if you're looking at the map of consciousness or an energy chart or whoever stuff you're looking at, knowingness is above trust. Mm-hmm. Because a knowingness is when you don't have to trust. It's there. You know, and you're confident. They're confident, and the knowingness are right there. Mm-hmm. So I've personally been working on my confidence in myself that I didn't know how badly I needed to work on recently about certain things.
Right.
I have less confidence about things in my life, like my being a mother. I'm not as confident as I am as about being a business owner. You know, there's things that.
Yeah, sure. Categories of life. Yeah.
Right. So how do I really step into this confidence and trust? And that's the conversation we're going to continue to have. And Lynn, I know with Reset It, which what you do professionally is help people reset beliefs. Right. This became a very interesting conversation, because Lynn, you know, you want to come in and say, well, you just reset it if you don't have confidence.
Right. Well, what I say is, if you have a lack of confidence around something, let's just say it's not one of us we're talking about. Let's make it this hypothetical person so that we don't, right? If someone has a lack of confidence around parenting, let's just, you just mentioned that one. I think that's a really common, like, mm-hmm. I remember I used to say, I think every parent is pretty sure they're the worst parent in the world, right? If they're at all good at it, they're pretty sure they're the worst, right? We've all had those kinds of moments if we're parents. And so if we have a lack of confidence as a parent, what I would always say is look at your programming and conditioning behind that thought. You know, Byron Katie says, behind every stressful emotion is an unexamined thought. So what is the thought that's behind your lack of confidence, that feeling of lack of confidence? What's the thought that's behind it? And then where did that thought come from? Does that thought belong to you and your experience? Did it come to you because, you know, especially when it comes to parenting, we inherit programs from our parents who inherited programs from their parents who inherited programs. I mean, it can be a generational thing, right? And so, you know, the power behind understanding how to examine a thought and ask yourself, does this thought, is it a program or condition that doesn't belong to me, that didn't start from me, that isn't part of my authentic self? And if it is from outside, if it is from programming from other people or society, or if it is from conditioned responses, then knowing how to reset it, to literally undo its hold on you, is just the ultimate power to me in self-confidence. Because once you remove that filter of the programming condition, you are allowed to make decisions from your own authentic self without them in the mix. And that's where true authentic confidence comes from for me.
And I'm here to talk about what happens before you get the awareness. Like, that's where trust is. So like, the awareness, you can ask yourself, what is this thought? Because I might do that too often and spend too much of my day wondering where all my stuff comes from, because I am a very aware self-reflector, you know?
Yeah.
And so when the answer hasn't come yet, well, I don't know the proper English there. then
that's because she's from Tennessee, y'all. It's okay.
I didn't pass. So they sent me to Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then we both live in Kentucky, so there's no telling what'll come out of our mouths.
Right. So before you get to the awareness, how to, and I'm learning that if I can trust myself and keep asking, and during that time, borrow the confidence that I do have it, that the answer will come. Right. Mm. And until I get the answer to then go reset, like, what's happening here? Because that doesn't always just come out. Right.
Right.
So then you're working your way up this scale where you're down here. And so what do you do when you don't know yet what to go reset? Right.
Well, I pretty much call you and talk it through, and
eventually it will come out. But sometimes I might spend 2 or 3 days on, you know, I ask and I let it go and I come back, and then sometimes it's, you know, it comes in different phases, but building trust. So now I like the word trust more because I have a place for it. It's right. When I don't have a knowingness, and there is a time when I say, I'm going to borrow my trust. I'm going to trust in myself, and I'm going to borrow confidence from somewhere else to say, I will come up with it. This will work itself out. I do have the answers. I do believe it's inside of me, you know, those kind of things until I come up with the thing that I can then unravel, you know.
And, you know, I love that you said that, because here's another thought that goes with that. Trust to me is about, and this goes with the word faith too, right? But we're kind of using trust in that same way, is you trust in something, you have faith in something, right? And people are drawn to doing that, I think, because life sometimes hands us situations where we feel completely unable to govern the situation. I think there are a lot of people in the United States and the world today feeling like, what can I do to make anything better? Right. And so having faith that somebody will do it, having faith that, right, that having trust that it'll all work out or whatever is their only first step go to, like you're saying, right? It's that first step of go to. And what is disempowering to me about that step is that it involves faith in something outside. It involves faith, whether it's a deity, whether it's a government, whether it's a system, whatever it is, that's what's disempowering to me about it.
Trust is disempowering in some way. It depends on how low on the four. I mean, it's higher than a lot of other things, but it's right. Lower than others. I just Googled as you were talking. I didn't Google, I ChatGPT. The difference between faith and trust, because you brought up a good point. And according to our old friend pal here, ChatGPT, faith is belief without proof, and trust is belief based on past experience. Often the key differences based on faith is based on belief and conviction, when trust is an experience or evidence. And faith does not require proof, and trust usually requires proof from the past.
I would call a conditioned response.
Me too. That's why I'm sitting here like, okay, I could have looked this up before. Thanks for this. this would have been a different conversation. We would be talking. So faith also is about future oriented, when trust is present and sometimes past oriented. And then faith is more abstract, when trust is usually more practical. Now, if I were to take the information I just read and started this conversation, I would say I'm having a conversation about faith more than trust, because it's faith in myself that's not a knowingness yet. I have faith that I will figure this out.
Yes, it's more future too.
Yes. And I do believe in my, and I, because I believe all the answers do come within, but I also believe they come within with my connection to source. Like, mm-hmm. I don't believe it's possible to be disconnected to source. I mean, there's a possible I'm not listening. That's would be right. Disconnection. But, but between the two, the collaboration there is where all my answers are.
Yeah.
For me, you know.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting to me as we talk about this. It's so interesting to me, the language that we use for things. And for me, this journey, this personal and spiritual development journey for me is 40 plus years in the making. So I looked back. So first of all, when other people say things, sometimes I translate their words in my head to be a word I like better than the word they used. I just did that with what you just said. But I just also got this flash of looking back over 40 years and all the different ways I would have said the same thing, pretty much meant the same thing, but I wouldn't have used that word or that, So it's interesting to me how we adjust our language over time and over through experience and all of that, right?
And understanding and awareness. I mean, that's definitely very different. And, to pick back up on this frequency 500 and raising the vibration, if you aren't in a knowingness, you're not sure what you are aware, if I'm not sure, I'm going to put this on me instead of, opening it out to people. But if I'm not sure where the belief is or what the block is or where it is, and I am doing things like a meditation or going within or letting it go. For me, I see a pattern that I'll meditate, look, feel, think, and then I let it go and give up, and boom, there's the answer. That's usually how it comes for me. I'll be like on the pot, whatever it is. I just had to say that to be funny. Anyway,
in a shower, driving. You and I both have it driving. We both are We both really get great ideas when we're driving on a road trip or something.
Absolutely, we do.
Yeah. And especially so, together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then you can, so when we're there and we're not ready to move into the resetting that belief yet, because we don't know what it is yet, how do you borrow the confidence? How do you borrow it? Like I call it borrowing. And I don't know if that in logistics, if that language, linguistics, okay, if that's the proper word, but I call it borrowing because I'll find something that I already have a knowingness about or a faith or a knowingness or a confidence about. Right. And I'll take that confidence. And this is what I've learned. This is the point. So I didn't complete that sentence. I'm aware of that, but I got excited about something else. What I'm learning is when I can just be in my confidence, the answer comes so much quicker. So it's like almost like you fake it till you make it, except it's not really because you're faking it until you make it in learning. It's this, everything's such a fine, you know, I heard that when the more and more evolve, like the more and more you go on your journey, the more and more things look, you know, are pulled apart and are more accurate. And I think that's what's happening to me, even as I talk to this about this conversation, is because the words I'm using doesn't always express exactly what I'm meaning. So I'm looking for the real word at the moment, you know, like, well, it's not really that, but it's kind of like this. But the gist of it is when you don't know how to go, when you're going from this place of doubt and you're working your way up, find something to trust in. And then with that trust, build your confidence. And then you'll find the answer to where you can go and find the belief that's holding you back. And then go to Lynn Schuessler Williams.
Yeah. And I would say just come and we'll talk about it and get there much faster than all that. But I also want to say this. One of the things you mentioned was borrowing confidence. And years ago, I had this experience of if you don't have confidence in yourself, just I have confidence in you, borrow some of my confidence in you, right? And so one of the places that I get really fed and really supported in my own confidence is in community, right? And it's because when we're in community with people who are sharing experience with us, and we are in a place where we can have authentic conversations about where we are and who we are. You and I, you know, we have that space in Unleash Your Unstoppable Mastermind that we run. And we have that space in Wise Women Collective and Celebration Friday and all that, where people are being open about where they are and about where they're confident and where they're not. And one of the reasons they do that, one of the reasons they step into that kind of community is because when we do, and we are able to be vulnerable and say, I'm not feeling confident in myself in this area or whatever, there are people around you to go, you got this. If you don't feel it in yourself, feel what I feel in you because I see you. I have a knowingness for you, right? Of yes. You can do this or, you know, whatever it is. And I find that to be kind of this step you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a great example. And that's exactly what's happening. Like you are taking on, you're taking on other people's beliefs. Like, you know, I learned to start saying to someone sometimes when in the right situation that it exists is if you don't believe in yourself, right? Don't do it for you. If you can't do it for yourself right now, do it for me. Mm-hmm. Like you don't really want someone to do it for you. You want them to do it for themselves, but if they can't, let me give you something to do it for.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard for me to have this conversation because for me, it all comes back around to the things that are standing in your way of the confidence are your programs and conditions, and you could just learn to reset them. Let's go.
Yes. Except
that's what it comes back around to for me every time.
Yes. And I'm here to say, but we got to figure out what before we get to the step of resetting it. Like, well, there's
But Brooke, even saying that, I'm like, no. No. People come to me all the time who have no idea what it is. The system of learning it, of learning to reset it, allows you to also learn how to identify it and how to test for it. And it's like this simple. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard for me. When Brooke said this thing about trust, I was like, ooh, this is going to be a real hard conversation. And I came around to what you're saying, but in the end, it all comes back to this for me. It is simple. It is, you don't have to spend years in therapy or days thinking about it or any of that, right? And I can't always do it instantly by myself. You know, you've heard me tell the story of when I got a concussion last year, and it never occurred to me there was something in my experience of that concussion to reset. It just never occurred to me until a reset specialist asked me the question that, you know, I was saying out loud, I don't know why I still have these concussion symptoms. They said it was really mild and it would only last a couple of days, but it's been like a week and I'm still feeling woozy and my eyes are funky. And like, I have all these post-concussion symptoms. And one of my friends said to me, so did you ever hit your head when you were a kid? And it was like, I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And all the adults around me went, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, is she okay? And made this big deal about it. And so every time I hit my head my whole life long, I would burst into tears because I thought it was this big deal because I received this program that hitting your head is a big deal. Then I had a conditioned response to it all my life. And that was affecting my body to the point that I had these symptoms I couldn't let go of. And as soon as I reset that, my body stopped having the concussion symptoms. Within 2 hours, they were all gone. They'd been going on for a week. And, you know, it's like, it just comes around to, it is that simple. And yes, we can't always be aware and think of it on our own right away. Like, I walked around for a week not knowing I had something to reset. But as soon as I talked to my reset it person, right, my specialist, it was just that quick of a conversation to get to the awareness, right? It was one question. They asked me one question I hadn't thought to ask myself. So that's why we have guides. That's why we have, not just in reset it, but in life, right? This is why you and I talk to each other, because you'll ask me the question that I needed to have asked, or vice versa, right?
Right.
But, and that's also the power of community, right? The power of community in the first scenario we said is borrowing someone else's confidence when you don't have it yet. But it's also in the right community, you've got people who are willing to ask you. That's the definition of a mastermind. Mastermind partners ask each other. They hold the thought of what that person really wants because that's what they told them they really want. And then they ask them great questions to help them get there.
Which is what we do at Unleash Your Unstoppable.
All the time.
Mastermind. We just show up and literally do that for each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's beautiful.
So if you have anything except knowingness about anything in your life, this is the commercial to reach out and touch someone named Lynn Schuchler Williams.
Oh my gosh. I love you.
I love you too. All right. I think this is
a fun conversation and really got me thinking about all kinds of things. And we're so glad y'all show up. You know, Frequency 500 is all about how do we inspire people to reach for living from the frequency of love or above. It mm-hmm. is what you give yourself, and it's the gift you give the world when you do that. Because every time we do that, no matter what our process is for doing it, we are raising the average, right, of the collective consciousness. And it could use some raising these days, people. So let's go do that. Thanks for being with us.
Yes. Till next time.
Till next time. Bye, you guys.
Bye.